All right, now, I kind of think that I'm in halfway decent shape. I work 4, 5, 6 times a week, and one of the reasons I do that, because it gets the sugar out of my bloodstream. And if you were to ask me, hey, Pastor Bob, how fast do you think you could run a mile? I'd say, I think I could run it a little bit under 8 minutes. Now, you were asking me, so how fast could you run that second mile? I'd say, oh, 20, 25. Can anybody relate with that? No, good. In a few weeks, I'm going to get on an airplane and I'm going to fly to Florida because I've got some meetings, okay? When I get in that airplane, I'm going to fly about a little over 500 miles an hour for just under 3 hours. Now, I want you to know that when I get in that airplane and I get to the elevation that we're supposed to be, I'm going to look out that window and I want you to know I have a whole new perspective. I can see for miles around. I can see where spring begins, and I can breathe, and I can see where winter is desperately holding on. I'll leave with the jacket on, but when I get there, I'm going to change into shorts. Everything changes because I'm in that airplane. In fact, my greatest weaknesses and my limitations now go away simply because I'm in that airplane. Now, I want you to think about this. When I'm in that airplane, I can do everything that airplane can do. Just because I'm in that airplane. My dear friends in Christ, can you imagine what it would be like if we were all in to Christ? Look what the scriptures teach. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the new that Jesus has done in you. So stand with me out of respect for God's word. I'm going to read from the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I desire with all of my heart to be a follower of Jesus. But not just by what I say, but by the way I live my life. So help me to be obedient to you and to your word. And if I need a swift kick, do that too. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So I want to kind of set this up a little bit. I'll talk a little bit about baptism. I just feel like I need to say to you is that baptism is one of those things in the church that sometimes divides us. You may be divided by the way you think about the way you're supposed to be baptized and what baptism means. And so there are sometimes a lot of different ways or angles to come at this. But here's what I want you to know about what we're going to do today. What I want to do is I don't want to talk about the things that divide us. I want to focus on what the scripture says that unites us, okay? Is that okay? And so it's not about what man says, because with all of these different opinions and things like that, somebody's going to be wrong, right? But I want to focus on the things that we have together, and that is this. We all believe that we're supposed to be baptized. So right after the service, or right after my message is done, at the end of my message, I'm going to have a couple individuals come up, and I want them, they're going to stand here, and what I want you to do right now is I just want you to take out this baptismal card, okay? Would you just take that out for me, please? Now, you remember a while back, we set some goals for our church. One of those goals was to have 1,250 people involved in a life group. You know what? This is your opportunity through the 40 days of prayer. Get involved in this. The second thing is we wanted to baptize 250 people in the next year. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. Not just so we can say, hey, we baptized 250 people, but because this is what is commanded by God. And we're simply being obedient to what he's called us to do. And so at the end of this service, there are some of you in here that have never been baptized before. And I want you to know, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit really rattles your chain during this service. But I want you to know that also that if you have been baptized before and maybe you've backslid and you think, man, I'd really like to be baptized again. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but that's okay if you want to do that. But a week from today, we're going to have a service in here at 6 o'clock at night. All we're going to do is worship and baptize. I'm going to get in the water and I'm hoping and praying that God through the Holy Spirit is going to send hundreds of people. And so that's why we're beginning this message today on baptism, but you're going to have a response at the end of this service to respond to this baptism. But there's one other response I'm also going to challenge you with. If you have not made Jesus Christ your Savior and the Lord of your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. So we're going to cover everything, okay? All right. In the Bible, we know that John tells us in his gospel, he says that if everything that Jesus did were recorded in the Bible, that there would not be enough books in the world to record everything he did, right? Okay, that's what the Bible tells us. So the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books tell us about the life of Jesus. If you want to know what Jesus' life was like, those are the four books that you read. I also want you to remind you is that Matthew doesn't have everything that John has, and Mark doesn't have everything that Luke has. Just because an event that Jesus did in his life is recorded in Matthew doesn't mean it's recorded in all of them. But we also know this. There are a few events that were important enough that they're included in all of the Gospels, right? Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension are just a few of those that are recorded in all of the Gospels, but there's one other that's recorded there. You know what it is? His baptism. And so what I want to do is I want to go to the book of Matthew because Matthew probably gives the best description of what happens when Jesus was baptized. So let's read what it says. Isn't that cool, the waters in the background? I was impressed. The Bible tells us, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River. So you saw where I was baptized. That's the area that they believe that Jesus was baptized, okay? Jesus went to the Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. All right, so here's what happens. John is baptizing. Baptism wasn't something new. Baptism had been going on for many, many hundreds of years. But the Bible tells us that John was baptizing, and the Bible tells us he was baptizing for a baptism of repentance. Now Jesus comes up to him and he goes, hey, John, remember they were cousins. Hey, John, I need you to baptize me. Now the Bible tells us in John that John the Baptizer knew who the Messiah was because there would be a dove that would be on his head. That's how John knew who it was. So John also had prophesied that when he was baptizing, there was someone who was coming that was greater than him. He says, his sandals, I'm not even worthy to untie. So now here comes Jesus, the Messiah. John knows who he is. And Jesus says, I want you to baptize me. And John's like, dude, I'm not going to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And then I want you to understand the importance of what Jesus said. Jesus said to John, no, you need to baptize me because it is required of my Father. You see, here's what Jesus was saying. Everything that man needs to be right before God, Jesus says, I'm going to perform it all. I'm not going to pick and choose. I'm going to do all of it. So then the question that I want to pose to you is this. So why was Jesus baptized? You know why? Because his dad said so. His dad said so. Jesus, you're going, and I want you to do all that's required. And Jesus willingly did that. Now, can you please tell me, why did Jesus willingly do that? Because he loved his dad. He loved his dad. He wanted to be like his dad. He wanted to grow up to be like his dad. He was his dad. Now, I want to answer a question that you may have, and that is, okay, so John was baptizing and Jesus was baptizing, so what's the difference? Is there a difference? Oh, there's a big difference. Now listen very carefully. John's baptism was for repentance. In other words, when people came to John, here's what John did. John listened and they repented of their sin. And then John gave them a cleansing that pointed to the cleansing that was going to come that would eliminate anything further that man would have to do. So in other words, John's baptism was in preparation for what Jesus was going to do. Okay, so what's Jesus' baptism? Jesus' baptism is the victory. It's completeness. When you're baptized with John, it just pointed you to the baptism that's good, that's coming. But when you are baptized in the baptism of Jesus, you are baptized into his victory. You are celebrating and identifying with everything that he did on the cross, and it's only one. It is total, complete victory. Understand? So, from that time on, when Jesus was baptized, from that time on in the New Testament, everyone that was baptized was immersed. Okay? Everyone from that time on that is baptized in the New Testament is immersed. All right, now, so the next question that I think that we need to ask is, well, Pastor Bob, so why was Jesus baptized? And why are we supposed to be baptized? That's a good question. Well, let's see what the scriptures tell us. Because Jesus commanded it. Did you hear me? Jesus commanded it. And here's the proof. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about what's the mission of our church. Go, baptize, and teach. We accomplish this by going, by baptizing and teaching. Jesus said, I want you to go and make disciples, and I want you to baptize them. And then he even told us how we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here's what we learned from this. Baptism is not an option. Rather, it is an obligation. I want to go back to why I asked you when I said, why would Jesus want to get baptized? Remember, because his dad told him so, and he loved his dad. Now think about this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, you are to be baptized. Why? Look what John tells us. If you love me, obey my commandments. In other words, this, if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I love him because he's my Savior and my Lord, I'm going to get baptized. Because obedience always demonstrates love. In Acts chapter 2, when the church now is beginning to be formed, the church is given the mandate to baptize. And as they baptize, they are to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They are given this mandate in the church that they are to baptize them, and they are to baptize them, now listen, following a profession of faith. Did you hear that? From Acts chapter 2 on, you are baptized following a profession of faith. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. So the disciples receive the Holy Spirit, and there's this rumbling, and people come from all over the place to hear and find out what's going on. And the disciples are, they think they're all drunk, right? But what they're doing is they're speaking in all of the people's languages out there. Then Peter steps up and he addresses the crowd with his very first of three sermons. When he's done with his sermon is so powerful, the people say to him, "What are we supposed to do?" Remember what Peter said? "Believe and be baptized, every one of you." What was Peter saying? Peter was saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then your declaration of your faith, you are to be baptized. Let's look at another one. You remember this story. Instantly, something like scales fell off Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for just a few days. Now, here's what I want you to think about this. So remember Saul, who became Paul, he's the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Remember, he was blinded on the road to Damascus, and Jesus said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he goes, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting." So then Ananias went, and he prayed for Saul, and these scales fell off. He professed his faith, and the first thing he did was, before he even ate, was what? He got baptized. Before he even ate, he got baptized. Well, how about this one? In Acts, there's a woman by the name of Lydia. The Bible tells us that she sold fine purple linens. When the word was brought to her, when the Holy Spirit opened her heart, you know what she did? She was baptized right away. Or what about this one? You remember Paul and Silas. They're in prison. The Bible tells us that they were singing hymns. And all of a sudden, there was this great earthquake, and it shook the whole prison, and the doors fell open. Do you remember what the jailer did? He was ready to plunge a sword through him, and Paul goes, "Wait, we haven't gone anywhere. We're still here." Do you remember what the jailer did? He went up to Paul, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Repent and be baptized." And all of his family that night repented and was baptized. One more. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. This is the story, remember, that Philip was walking along, and the Holy Spirit took Philip and he put him right alongside of this carriage. It was the carriage of a eunuch, an Ethiopian. And while he's traveling along, Philip hears him reading the book of Isaiah. So Philip knocks on the gate. He goes, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the guy says, "How can I understand what I'm reading unless somebody explains it to him?" Remember what Philip did? Philip explained to him the scriptures, and his eyes were opened. And he professed his faith. And what did he do next? He said, "There's some water. What can keep me from being baptized?" So baptism follows a profession of faith. All right. So the next question that maybe we might want to ask is this. So why do I follow Jesus in baptism? What's the importance of it? Great question. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, you needed to understand is that this very first baptism that Jesus performed, this is where he identifies with you and me. This is where Jesus identifies himself with all of mankind in symbolic form. So when Jesus is in the water and he goes under the water, it's a picture of what is to come. This is where Jesus is starting his ministry, and here's what's happening. As Jesus goes under the water, the weight of the world, the sin of the world is being put upon his shoulders. In other words, it's pointing to the fact that Jesus is going to be beaten, he's going to be crucified, he's going to die, he's going to be buried. That's what it represents. It represents that Jesus went under and he is demonstrating what is about to happen. But my dear friends in Christ, he didn't stay under the water, did he? One of the things that we like to do up there when I baptize people, if it's a brother and sister, I'll say, hey, listen, do you want me to hold your brother under a little longer? Just make sure we get all the sin out of him. But here's what I want you to know. Jesus didn't stay under the water. And when Jesus came up out of the water, that's the symbolism of Jesus being raised from the dead. It's God saying, what I have sent you to do has been accomplished. And I got to tell you something. Every time I'm up in those baptismal waters, and I see this person, I say, buried with Christ, and they come out of that water, I have never seen anyone without a smile on their face. And as I see that water just run off their face, it's a constant reminder to me of this. This individual has been washed and is clean. And so what Jesus is telling us is that when he comes out, guess what? He's saying that the old has passed and the new has come. It's a symbol of what was to come. So, when you get into the waters of baptism and you come down in there, you are following Jesus. And as you stand in there, I ask you, or the pastor asks you, a question. Because remember, baptism follows profession of faith. And the question that I'll ask you is this. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him into your heart? And the answer to that is? Yes, right? Okay. I think we can learn from children. I'm telling you, I've been up there, and before I even get the question finished, yes, yes, yes. But the answer to that is yes. Have I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? The answer is yes. And then the second question is will you do your best to follow him all the days of your life? Now listen to this. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not your power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Just because you get baptized doesn't mean you're perfect. Sorry, just ask my wife. But it reminds us of what Christ has done for us. And so what I say to you then is the second question then is after you say yes, then I say to you, as your pastor, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now here's what happens. You better hold your nose then. And this is what I say to you. Buried with Christ, you're all the way under the water. But when you come up, raised to new life. Raised to new life. And not just here on this earth, but for all eternity. Now, there may be a couple questions that arise in this. And one of the questions is Pastor Bob, do you believe that baptism saves you? And I would say, no, baptism doesn't save you. Because if baptism saved you, then that means that you have to perform a work. And you know what? You don't have to perform a work because Jesus did it all on the cross. We are saved by faith alone. Now listen to me very carefully about this, okay? We are saved by faith alone, but I've never seen faith all alone. You know what I'm talking about? It's that, yeah, I know I'm saved by faith, but because of what Jesus has done for me, it makes me want to do something for others. I want to be to others what Christ has been to me. So does baptism save you? No. You remember, here's another example, is that remember the thief on the cross? Jesus did not say to him, today, right after you get baptized, you'll be with me in paradise, right? He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Well, the other one then is, so what about children? Do we baptize children? Well, here's what I would say to you about that. What does Jesus say about the kind of faith we're supposed to have? You ought to have the faith of a senior citizen, right? No, he doesn't say that. He says, if you have the faith of a little child. What did he mean by that? What he meant by that is this, that you have a faith where you don't have to know all the answers. That you know what Jesus did for you on the cross. You've asked him, you've received the gift that he's given to you, and now watch them live their lives. So if you're a mom or dad here, and maybe you have a 6 or 7 or an 8-year-old or maybe a 5-year-old either, I would just sit down with them and I would ask them the question. So have you asked Jesus into your heart? Oh, they'll know what you're talking about. And if they say yes, then ask them, so would you like to be baptized? And then just tell them, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus tells us, don't wait. He says, we should be baptized. Would you like to be baptized? And then go with it. So one of the things that I want to close with now is what is actually happening and kind of what we're saying to the world. And I'm going to be a little blunt, okay? Because I want you to know the truth. If we say that we are believers in Jesus Christ, that we have received him as our Lord and Savior, but we have not been baptized, then my friends, we are walking contradictions. We're walking contradictions. You see, Jesus commanded that we're supposed to be baptized. And if we love him, we're going to follow him in the waters of baptism, because in baptism, we identify with Jesus. So let me show you what I mean. I love to do weddings. And after the couple makes a promise to one another, okay, then it comes to the part where I say, may I have the rings, please? I bless the rings, and then I say to the groom, I say, take your bride's ring, and as you place it on her finger, repeat after me. And then I do the same thing with the bride. Do you realize what's happening there? Those rings say, I'm identifying with my spouse. That ring says, I'm married. This ring tells the world that I belong to this young lady. And the ring that she wears tells the world that she belongs to me. So let me ask you, why would I get married and not wear my wedding ring? How's that going for you? Because here's what I find in life, that when couples go through difficult times, and I mean real difficult times, you know the first thing that comes off? The wedding ring. Why? Because they're saying, I don't want to be identified with you. Jesus tells us in his word, if you have received the gift that I've given to you, then come and identify yourself with me through the waters of baptism. So I brought with me a jersey, okay? And I want you to know that if I get picked by this team, I want you to know that this team gives me a jersey, okay? I don't have to go buy my own jersey. No, this team gives me a jersey. You know why? Because I belong to them. The owner owns me. And so I wear this jersey to tell everybody that comes to watch us play that I belong to this team. Have you ever seen a player who is identified with a certain team where some of them just aren't wearing their jerseys? It doesn't work, does it? No, you have to wear the jersey. Why? Because the owner gave you that jersey. The owner chose you to be on their team. And the owner wants the world to believe and know that you belong to him. And so today, what we're talking about is this. The owner is Jesus. And Jesus bought you with his blood. He owns you. And all he's simply saying to you is this. Will you wear my jersey? Will you wear my jersey so that the rest of the world knows that you belong to me? So in your hand, you have a card. And if you have not been baptized or you feel like you've backslid, I'm asking you, do you hear the voice of Jesus saying to you, will you wear my jersey? Will you allow everybody in the world to know that you belong to me and I belong to you? And the way we do that is through the waters of baptism. And so at this time, I'm going to ask our worship team and a couple of our pastors to come forward. And I want you to know that a lot of times people will say, you know, I want to be baptized. I don't want anybody to see me baptized. I want you to understand something, that baptism is one of the ways that we profess our faith. Remember what I said last week? I said, you can't be a believer and do it in privacy. This is where you profess to those, your brothers and sisters in Christ, God chose me, and I'm accepting his jersey that he's given to me. And so if you're wanting to be baptized next week, what I'd like you to do is just to fill that out, and I'm going to ask you to come forward and bring that forward as we're singing the song. And don't be afraid. Look what Jesus did for you. Just walk forward. Maybe you ask somebody, hey, will you walk with me forward? I encourage you to do that. And maybe you've been baptized. You said, you know what, Lord, man, I've backslid so many times. I want you to know you don't need to be baptized again. But if you want to be baptized as a rededication, that's okay. If that's what you feel like God is leading to you, that's fine. But whatever you do, don't sit in your seat. If God, through the Holy Spirit, is giving you a nudge. Remember what I prayed? Even if he needs to give us a swift kick. And so as our pastor up here and as we come here, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward and to give those baptisms. But there's one other thing I need to do real quickly, okay, and that's this. If you have not received the gift, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please don't wait. We're not promised tomorrow. All we have is right now. And if you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart, saying, now is the time, I'll be up here, and I'm here waiting for you. And maybe you may want to do it in front of everybody. Maybe you want to do it in the grand foyer afterwards. But I want you to know that if God is calling you, then answer his call. And so I want you to bow your heads right now, and I want you to close your eyes. And I'm just going to pray a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for this incredible gift of baptism, which is where we identify with you. But Lord, before baptism, there needs to be a time of a profession of faith. And God, I just feel like you're tugging on my heart. And so with everybody's head bowed and their eyes closed, if you feel like God is tugging on your heart, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's going to see it. Just raise your hand. There you go. Very good. This is awesome. This is awesome.